This is Pamela Wilson from Big Brand System. I'm here with Susan Daffron. Susan, I'm so happy that you could join us today. We're going to be talking about ebooks and EPUB ebooks especially. And I wonder first, Susan, if you could just share a little bit about your background.
Okay, sure. Well, realistically, I've been involved in design and publishing for a very long time. In fact, I started out, one of my first jobs after college was working for a print shop doing paste up and layout work on a Mac SE. And if you know what a Mac SE, then hey, you're almost as old as I am.
You and I must be soulmates, because that's how I started out in my career as well. So
exactly. And so you actually remember like X-Acto knives and layout boards and the whole thing and wax. And
yes.
So anyway, from there, I moved into working more on long documents. I worked at a magazine publisher. And then after all that, I ended up starting my own business, which, like many entrepreneurs, has evolved many different ways, shapes, and forms. But what it has evolved into is publishing, book publishing. And at this point, I've published 15 books, 12 of which are written by me, and 3 of which are written by other people. So we actually are now an official publisher, not just a self-publisher. And most recently, I just finished the first draft of my first fiction book, which is a romantic comedy novel. And I just did the cover mock-up, and it should be published this summer in both print and e-formats. All of our recent books are in e-formats, so that's where my expertise comes from.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm very happy to say that you were able to write the eBook Evolution EPUB guide, because obviously you have a lot of expertise in this area. So I wonder if one of the first things you could do for us is just kind of define that term. What is an EPUB eBook?
Well, it's basically, the term eBook has been used by internet marketers for a zillion different years, and it usually implied a PDF, which is a downloadable thing that people would buy from your website. But now ebooks also include books that can be read on e-readers, and that's what we're talking about here, which would be Kindle is an e-reader, the Nook is an e-reader. People read books on their iPads now. So these are actually, the ebooks we're talking about here are actually optimized to be read on those formats, which if you've ever used a Kindle, you know that the text flows from one page to another. It's not like a PDF where each page is a static image like a piece of paper. So that difference is what kind of changes how you approach the project.
You know what really threw me off the first time I read an ebook on a Kindle was no page numbers.
Tell me about
it. No page numbers. But that's the way it is, because the text flows, and you can enlarge it and make it smaller. And so depending on what you do as the reader with the text, they can't really have page numbers. They have a progress bar. That's the closest they come to it, right?
Exactly.
So what are some of the advantages that this kind of ebook, this kind of EPUB, e-reader style ebook has over, say, a PDF version of the same ebook?
Well, the biggest, most obvious thing is that you can reach a much, much wider market, because you're going through potentially Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You're getting actually into the book distribution networks that have been used for print books for a long time. So I don't even know what the number of people who visit Amazon.com is, but it's vast. Their distribution network is huge, the amount of people visiting their sites. And the ebook market, ebook as in books for e-readers that we're talking about here, is actually $100 billion market. So this also, of course, means you have a little bit more competition than if you're, but it means that you can reach more people than you could if you were trying to promote it just on your own website.
That's a huge market. That's a huge market. I mean, that should get anyone excited, I would think.
Yeah, exactly.
So So we have the e-reader style ebook and we have PDF ebooks. And I'm wondering if there would ever be a reason to publish on both platforms.
Actually, there's some good reasons because actually each one has its own advantages. With a PDF, you're selling on your own website, like I said. And when you do that, you are capturing that customer information. So what that means is that if you have other products, you can use your ebook as a lead-in to much higher end things. You can cross-sell, you can upsell. If you offer consulting, obviously, you know, your $10 PDF could lead to a, you know, long-term consulting arrangement or freelance work that can net you a lot more money in the long run. On the other hand, the advantage of a Kindle book or you know, EPUB, whatever, these distributed books, you don't get the customer information. So that's, you know, kind of a downside, but you get that incredible reach through Amazon and people can download your book with one click. And there's always going to be people who will never buy anything from your website because they're afraid of it. If someone has a Kindle and they're used to buying thousands of Kindle books, people like collect these things like, you know, I don't know, I can't even think of something, marbles or something. Mm-hmm. They just amass billions of books on their Kindles because it's so easy. They can download your book with one click. It's like, woohoo, I can read it now. And so talk about instant gratification. That can get your book into a wider marketplace. And of course, you can put information, obviously, and you should at the end of the book, about who you are, what your website is. And so your readers will sometimes find you. So it can be a sort of a funnel into your world to a whole audience of people that never would have heard of you otherwise.
Right. So you have a broader reach, but like you said, you may lose people who just will never buy something from a website. They feel more comfortable buying from an established online vendor like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And maybe, you know, your website isn't a big enough name for them to feel really comfortable handing over their credit card number.
It's true.
Yeah. So there are advantages to having both, it sounds like. And what about mm-hmm. publishing the same book in both places, selling it from your website and then also selling it from Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon wants to make sure that the book is lowest priced there. So you have to keep that in mind and not like offer it for free somewhere, offer it for really cheap somewhere else. So, or they will remove you, which you don't want. So there's some kind of Amazon rules. And if you get into this in a large way, you should understand the rules because Amazon is sort of the 10 million pound gorilla. They can pretty much do what they want. And if you piss off Amazon, then you can't sell there.
Right. So, but what you're saying, just to clarify, is for example, if I have an ebook and it's selling on Amazon for $4.99, and I have a PDF version of that ebook. So it's a different format, but it's basically the same content and the same title. And I'm selling that PDF off of my website. I can't sell it for more than $4.99. Is that right?
No, that's not what I meant. It's okay. It's more or less within the ebook distribution network. So okay. I mean, because for example, it's a different edition in the world of
book publishing.
Books,
right.
Book publishing. So your print book can sell more for more. So like in our case, I have one of my books sells for $4.99 on Kindle. It sells for $9.99 in print, and but the Nook version also is $4.99. And that's where Amazon gets a little fussy, is on these other ebook sites, they don't want to see you undercutting them. So.
Right. Okay. Because one of the advantages of PDF is that you can do some additional things with your ebook that you can't really do on an e-reader. For example, you could have an ebook that has worksheets that go with it or checklists that are kind of, you know, resources that you could offer with the ebook that make it more valuable in PDF form. So that's what I was envisioning, is that you have something on Amazon that is perhaps a more pared down version of your ebook that's really just the text. And then you have a PDF version that maybe is, you know, full graphics and has worksheets and checklists, and you sell it for more off of your website.
Exactly. And in fact, one of my clients is, I just suggested this to one of my clients who has, it's a financial book, and he is going to do it in print, but the worksheets are tiny. And this in Kindle, it will be even worse. I mean, doing things like tables and things like that, you're going to have to turn it into a graphic. It's going to be really small. And who can fill out a table or a chart on a Kindle? You really,
yeah, no,
I mean,
not really,
oh God,
doable.
It's just a nightmare to think about. So what I was suggesting is that he, the end of the book, say, here, we're going to package up, we've packaged up some spreadsheet versions and some PDF versions of these financial worksheets so that you can work through them on your computer. And then it's a value add. And then you get the benefit of both worlds, which is that you get the customer, you get that wide reach of Amazon to draw in the customer, but then you're taking them back to your website where they have to provide their email address to get those fabulous downloads. So you can really make these things work synergistically if you're kind of strategic about it.
Yeah, I love that idea. I love that idea of making them work together. So I contacted you about writing the EPUB guide a couple of months ago, and I'm wondering what you discovered in the process of writing the guide.
Well, it's easy to create an ebook using the tools that I describe in the EPUB guide, which are Calibre, and you know, it's really almost a one-click thing. With that said, it's a lot harder to create an ebook that looks good. If you do anything really, try and do anything really fancy, you may run into problems. And this is what you were saying before, is that as long as you keep it really simple, it's fine. And in my case, because our books are also in print, we actually start from InDesign, not OpenOffice like is described in this. So our personal in-house conversion process doesn't use the free tools, but all the same principles apply, like using styles, which I discuss in the guide. And the other thing is that if you really get into e-publishing seriously, like you're publishing multiple ebooks, you're going to want to learn about the technical aspects of how it works. Or if the idea of learning about the technical aspects makes you want to throw up, you should hire someone who's experienced, and, you know, hire a nerd to do the conversions, because it's just like, I've compared it to web design. It's a lot closer to web design than print design in a lot of ways, because way behind the scenes, what those conversion tools are doing is they're adding in tags, which are not terribly dissimilar from HTML tags. So if, you know, you hire out your web development and you never ever want to see an HTML tag in your life, this is not really that different as far as you would want to hire out an ebook conversion expert if you get really into this, or you're trying to do really complicated ebooks. If you're right, if you're doing a novel or something that's completely straight text where all of it flows, you've got, you know, three styles in the whole document, then these things work great. If you have a really complicated book with, like I was saying, charts and tables and graphs and who knows what else, you're probably going to want to either learn a lot more about this stuff. And there's tons of information online. So, and there's forums, there's all kinds of information, because a lot of people are doing this. So you can find it, but it does, you know, it's a lot like the early days of people creating websites, which, again, I'm old enough to know this. I hand-coded my first website in 1997. So, you know, for me, getting into that is not as horrifying as it would be to someone who has, you know, never, you know, hires out all their WordPress development, everything. So, you know, you really have to take your own tolerance for technology into account. And actually, we were talking before the call, the one who does our ebook conversions in-house, it's like, I can do websites and I've done HTML for a long time, but my husband's a programmer. He's like the be all and end all of nerds. And he does our ebook conversions. So, because he's way nerdier than I am. So it's like, go with what you know.
Right.
I do the print design.
Right. Right. Well, just to very briefly outline the process that you developed in the EPUB guide, it's basically taking your OpenOffice Writer document that you've applied styles to, because if you've used one of the eBook Evolution templates, everything in those templates already has styles. And then it's basically simplifying it. You're removing the cover so that you can then add it back in as an image later on during the conversion process. You remove the table of contents because the table of contents is created automatically as long as you've set up your styles properly. And then it's kind of a process of paring everything down. You're making like a Zen publication, right? Everything is very simple. And when you simplify it, it does convert fairly cleanly. There's a little bit of back and forth. You can convert it and then check it. And if it's not working right, you go back and do it over again. But it, as long as you're able to simplify it, it seems like it works pretty well. So what I'm wondering is, if someone is just starting out doing these conversions, what are the things that they should keep in mind as they write their ebook that they want to eventually put onto an e-reader platform?
Well, the main thing is pretty much what you said, which is, you know, the classic KISS rule, which is keep it simple. So when you're writing it, use as little formatting as possible. In OpenOffice, make sure you use styles. Just try and keep it really simple. Don't complicate things, because you, again, remembering that conceptually it's flowing and the texts, people can change the text size, so the idea of a page is gone. So, and for those of us with old eyes, some of us, we do increase the text size on our Kindle. That's actually arguably my favorite thing about the Kindle. So realize that people, just like with a web page, it's very fluid. And so if your book is straight text, you're great. So it's kind of like what I said. It's closer to web page design than print design. Like, a web page can be as long as you want it to be. It can go on forever, one single web page. And that's kind of what this is like, one really, really long streaming text file.
Right. And the simpler, the better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if someone has to pick a platform, they're looking at, okay, I could put it on Kindle, I could put it on the Nook, I could put it in the iBook store and get it on iPads. If someone has to pick a platform to start with, which one would you recommend? And you know, the second part of this question is your answer dependent on whether or not the book is fiction or nonfiction?
Actually, that's sort of a two-part question. And the answer, the biggest answer is Kindle is the format you want to be on for pretty much anything. According to Publishers Weekly, Kindle has 55% of the ebook market. Apple has 15%, and the Nook has 14%. So if you get those three formats, you're covering 85% of the market. And I don't know, if you follow publishing news, you'll read about some kind of amazing stories. Some, particularly in fiction, some people are doing incredibly well on Kindle. I mean, making real money.
Yeah.
And one guy that my husband, because he does our ebook formatting, he got involved in a bulletin board group called Kindle Boards. And a guy he met on Kindle Boards, whose name is Hugh Howey, he's a science fiction writer. And he's still on Kindle Boards. He still participates, but he's sold 140,000 copies of his book. It's called Wool. It's actually not even a long novel. I think it's actually technically like a novella. And he recently sold the film rights to this science fiction series to 20th Century Fox.
Wow.
And he's doing really well. And because another thing I just saw today, this morning, in fact, is because I'm writing a romantic comedy, I was looking at the Romance Writers of America Awards, and a book that I had sort of had my eye on Kindle is one I want to buy, which is self-published on the Kindle. It's actually one of their award finalists, and there were a number of them that are self-published. You can kind of tell in their award listing. It says that the publisher is Amazon Publishing. Well, that means it's self-published on the Kindle.
Yeah.
So it's like there's kind of no better time to be a self-publisher than, I mean, there used to be such an amazing stigma of self-publishing, you know, against self-publishing, and now it's really starting to, I mean, people are getting real success. I mean, making real money. My husband's book, he wrote a fantasy novel, and he's sold like 4,000 copies of it.
Wow.
And, you know, you have a 70% royalty on Kindle, so you're you know, it's not going to you know, make us a millionaire, but that was money we did not have before. So,
Right,
and
right.
he's wanted to write a novel forever. So it's just really kind of cool. The question of fiction versus nonfiction is transitioning. Fiction is obviously doing really, really well on the Kindle. Nonfiction is starting to do better than it was. My nonfiction books, which we've had on Kindle for a while, I have books on that are targeted towards people who are working for pet rescue groups. One of them's on fundraising, and the other one's on publicity. How, you know, one of them's 101 fundraising ideas for humane and animal rescue groups. So this is how they can make more money, save more dogs. Anyway, it's been out on Kindle for a while, but it kind of never did that much, didn't worry about it. And the print sales were doing really well. But now more people are discovering it. I don't know how this is happening, honestly. But it's coming up. The thing with Amazon, and there's a lot of information about this, is that once you start getting into like the also bought lists, if you're on Amazon and you look at the bottom, it'll say, you know, so and so who bought this book also bought this book. If you get enough sales, you start getting into those lists, and then your sales start to multiply. It's part of Amazon's unbelievably complicated algorithm. So somehow I think that My Book Funds to the Rescue actually got into the algorithm, and you know, I must have maybe had a surge in sales, and then it got in there. But then once it gets in there, it can stay in there, and then your sales can actually be, my sales for Funds to the Rescue have been relatively consistent, and I actually have not been marketing it. So
That's so interesting. So it's
it's
really
weird.
kind of a cumulative process. I mean, it sounds to me like the best time to get your ebook on Kindle is like 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And
So
there's
basically the sooner the better, because it, you know, even if it starts out slow, there's potential that it could really grow over time.
Yeah, and it does take time. That's the thing. And that's why Kindle is really, and ebook publishing in general is really wonderfully suited for books that are evergreen. So like a fiction book, my novel, you know, when it comes out, I don't ever have to take it out of print. So the marketing can become cumulative, and you know, you do a promotion and then you get a little spike, and then that helps, and it can just keep growing over time. My Funds to the Rescue book is actually fairly evergreen. Some of my older books that I haven't even bothered to put into Kindle because it's just, you know, they're out of date and not worth worrying about, because they're on technical topics. But we just published a book. Actually, one of our other authors, one of the ones that we're publishing for other people, is on Photoshop. Now, this is a book that I thought would do nothing on e-publishing, and it's selling on the iPad now, and it's like the only one of our books that's selling on the in
Now
the Apple
you're, but it, do
Bookstore.
you have it in the Kindle store and it's selling, it, people are reading it on their iPads using the Kindle for iPad app?
No, I mean through the Apple Bookstore.
Okay, you're selling it through the
Yeah.
Apple Bookstore.
Yeah. So
Interesting. And this is something else we should mention, is that even if you have a book that's not completely evergreen, it's a fairly easy process to update your book and re-upload it to the Amazon site, for example.
exactly. So if you have, that's the other thing, is that the thing that's so nice about this is that it costs you nothing, because it doesn't cost you anything to it. Well, except your time, obviously. The conversion is, as noted, a lot of your time, but or it can be. But once you've done it once and you know the process, you've got a system, you can update these books. Unlike in print, you don't have inventory to worry about. You know, you find a typo, it's like, oh, shoot. You don't have a print run to worry about. Even print on demand, which we use for our books, you still have books out there that have a typo in there somewhere. And with like in my office at home, I know there's a book with a typo in it. But with Amazon, you just re-upload. You upload a new version, and there it is. It's from there on. It doesn't cost anything to upload a new one. So why not do it?
Right. The possibilities are endless. Well, this is it's very exciting to have all this additional information about it. I really appreciate it. So I guess the last question I have for you then is, if you could address everyone who is a potential ebook author who is looking to get into this, what words of encouragement would you give to them?
Well, one thing to think about is that Amazon actually sells more ebooks than printed books now. It's and I think I said this before, it's $100 billion marketplace. So, and if you're writing fiction, it's really, you absolutely should put it in Kindle. There are a lot of authors making a fair amount of money. I'm like so excited about the fact that I finished my novel first draft, mostly because it's fiction. It's like, oh my gosh. Cause I was not convinced that I could write a novel, and, cause I've never written anything that long before, but it's like, you don't know until you try. So if you're already writing, then it's an amazing new opportunity. But with that said, like anything else, it's really important to spend the time learning about the business, because when you're getting into this area, you're actually getting into the realm of book publishing and real book publishing. It's like anyone can create a PDF and put it on their website. But when you're getting into a book distribution network like Amazon, your competition is now other really established and professional booksellers. You're playing with the big boys here now. Your book is going to be sitting next to books from, you know, Random House, Penguin, and that's a huge opportunity, in that it used to be you couldn't even get your books sitting next to books from Random House and Penguin. And if you make your book look as good as the books coming out of traditional publishers, nobody will care. Whoever looks at the publisher of a book, except people like me, because I'm weird. But, you know, and it's like, I care, you know, this is how I know that there are award winners that were self-published. But, you know, in general, someone downloading a book from a Kindle, do they look at you? Oh, it was published by Penguin. Woohoo. No, they don't. But so if you make it look as good, make it professionally edited, nobody will care. But if you do a bad job, then you just come off as looking really bad. And it's kind of like a website where they will close your ebook and never look at it again and delete it off their Kindle. So it's like, you don't want to be another amateur self-publisher with the stigma that it has had for a million years, just throwing dreck into the wind. You want to do this as well as you can, because you have an amazing opportunity. So, you know, don't waste it. And like we're saying, it's like, you can always upload a new version. So if someone goes, oh my gosh, it was riddled with typos, please fix them.
Right, right. So it sounds like what you're saying is, get started, take it seriously, learn all you can, and keep it simple. But get started now, because the sooner you get something up there, the sooner you'll start to see results.
Yeah. And really, we've been making a kind of a side income from publishing both print and online, or print and e-publishing, for a long time. And it's really nice. We call it magic money, because the payments get automatically deposited into your bank account. It's really kind of cool.
Like, that's woohoo. Nice. Yeah, that must feel a little bit like magic. I mean,
we call it magic money.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, work that you did years ago and you're still getting income from it. So that's kind of the holy grail. That's a beautiful thing. So
yes, yeah. We're all about the passive income. We like that.
Yeah. Susan, thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge and your experience and your encouragement as well. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This is Pamela Wilson from Big Brand System signing off. Thanks for listening.